Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, Psalm 27, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. The message today is titled, Our God is a Generous God. Hear the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Here ends the first reading, Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also, go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. "And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day." But he answered them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the man who was hired last the same I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and to those who pray with us. Amen. Did you hear those amazingly powerful and generous words that the Lord gave the prophet Isaiah? Though I just read two short verses this morning, those two verses are packed with such grace and mercy, we need to hear them again. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Seek the Lord, call on him. Turn from your wicked ways and your evil thoughts. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord and listen to the greatness of the generosity the living God has for you. Listen what the Lord will do, what He, that is the Lord, what He will do. He will have mercy on you. This is amazingly great news that our God will freely pardon too. Notice this is offered to all people. This is the most inclusive offer ever made. Anyone can seek the Lord. Anyone can call on Him. And whoever calls on Him will receive mercy and will be freely pardoned. To call upon the Lord is to use the name of the Lord properly as an act of worship. To call upon the Lord is an act of faith in the Lord. To call upon the Lord is essential for salvation. And this verse in Isaiah 55 is echoed in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it is written, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. No one is excluded. Those who say the Christian faith is narrow-minded and exclusionary just don't understand. The reality of salvation, open to everyone, open to anyone, yes, anyone, is the most open invitation that has ever been given. The challenge, though, is found in the first part of verse 7 of Isaiah 55, where it is written, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thought." That word forsake, that's the sticking point. Forsake in the Hebrew means to loose, that is, let go of. It means to leave. One has to, yes, one has to let go of their favorite sin and leave behind the desires and actions that are not right nor good to do. In other words, repent and turn to the Lord God. In doing so, the greatest gift will come your way. Mercy and pardon, compassion and forgiveness will be shown to you in such abundance that you can't help but be changed by the generosity of God. Yes, our God is a generous God. Matthew chapter 20, the parable of the worker in the vineyard, is found only in the Gospel of Matthew. And this parable is told in response to Peter's statements at the end of Jesus' encounter with the rich young man, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 19. The rich young man comes up to Jesus and asks, "Teacher, What good thing must I do to get eternal life? Jesus tells the young man, only God is good. And if you want to enter eternal life, obey the commandments. The young man asks, which ones? From Matthew chapter 19, verses 18 through 22. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What still do I lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Scripture tells us, then Jesus says in verse 23 and verse 24, I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. This statement caught the disciples. A rich man cannot be saved? It caught him off guard. If a rich man cannot be saved, who can be saved? At that time, being rich, as this young rich man was, it was a sign of blessing of God. God had blessed that rich young man. The favor of God was on that rich young man. Being rich was a sign of blessing, a sign of favor, a sign of being saved. Now Jesus says, not so. The young rich man was told to be perfect, to go and sell his possessions and give to the poor, to have treasure in heaven. But yet then comes the bigger part, being responding to. Jesus says, then come follow me. The disciples just could not wrap their heads around this, saying in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That statement makes it onto many, so many motivation posters, but it misses the true meaning on those motivation posters. The statement by Jesus here, with God, all things are possible, is an answer to the disciples' question, who then can be saved? With human effort, it's impossible. But with God, salvation is possible. And it's the only way to be saved. Peter then responded, Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Peter answered, we have left everything to follow you. What then will be for us? The rich young man could not let go of his stuff and follow Jesus. The disciples are wondering, what about us? We left everything for you. The disciples let go of all their things, their businesses, their livelihood. They left their families. They left everything to follow Jesus. Well, we'll be there for them. It was an earnest question. And to this earnest question, Jesus gives the parable of the workers in the vineyard. We know the story of the landowner going out and hiring men to work the vineyard just as the day begins. The wages set for the denarius for the day, with the men agreeing to the wage and went to work in the vineyard. Third hour, others standing in the marketplace with idle hands, the landowner sent them to work in the vineyard with these most interesting words, go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right. By their actions, these men agreed to the terms. They went to work in the vineyard without bargaining specifically for what they would be paid. Let's take a look at that. Pay you whatever is right. That word as right is a root word that in the classical Greek means a legal decision, a self-evident right or a decision that is just. The usual usage of this same word with the Jewish perspective, it has to do with the elect. That is the judicial approval of God. Just, right, righteous. This exact same word is used in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. There it's translated as righteous. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph, by his nature and character, a righteous man, would do what is right and not expose Mary to public disgrace. Likewise, this vineyard owner in the parable of Matthew chapter 20 would do what is right. Because of his nature and character, he will do what is right. Hired a third hour, you will receive what is right. Sixth hour, ninth hour, the same. You will receive what is right. Now the 11th hour comes, and still men are in the marketplace with no work. Did you notice there is no bargaining nor statement given about the wages? The landowner simply said, "You also go and work in my vineyard." And they did. Hired the 11th hour, paid one denarius. Hired the 9th hour, one denarius. Sixth hour, and third hour, and so forth. When I was in high school, I had a neighbor hire me to watch their four children as they went out for the night. The kids were fairly well behaved and had a huge collection of Star Wars action figures. We're talking the late 1970s, early 80s. So you know those classic Star Wars action figures that were first released with Star Wars A New Hope, the first Star Wars movie, and so forth. They had all these action things. So I would be spending the night venturing through the vast wilderness of space with X-Wing fighters and all these wonderful action figures and so forth. Imagination, the time flew by. When the couple of hours were over and the parents came home, I was paid $20 for about 2 hours of watching, watching the kids. I was pumped. That was a good night's earnings. Several weeks later, they hired me to watch the kids again. This time, they were going to be gone for 4 to 4.5 hours or so. When they came home, I was looking for a big payday. I mean, $20 for 2 hours? What will I get for four and a half hours? This night must be worth $40 to $50, right? That's what I thought. Then they handed me a $20 bill for the night. Now, I hid my disappointment and graciously thanked them. I mean, $20 still was great pay, for I was only earning minimum wage at McDonald's at that time, and I think it was only about $3.15 an hour. You know, I eventually figured out they didn't pay by the hours, they paid by the number of kids. But that was my heart attitude. And that heart attitude, expecting more, even though I didn't show it, I was disappointed. I could say I was, and at first I was a little tad angry for the pay I was getting for watching the kids, especially at that first night after 4.5 hours. But compared to minimum wage, it was still generous. But my heart had those fleetings for more than a fleeting moment, those feelings of. So as Jesus told the story of the parable of the workers in the vineyard, he pulled the crowd in for more likely listening. They would have those feelings of those hired in the first morning like I had. You know, you owe me more. They felt like they were being cheated. They suffered the burden of the whole day and they were made equal to the ones who only worked in the cool of the late afternoon. Not fair. Not fair. Could you see them stamping their feet and the dust raising? It's not fair at all. Now, I have seen this parable used to talk about wages and work. This parable has nothing to do about wages nor work, let alone a living wage or equal pay. This parable has been twisted by many to try to demonstrate for fair wages. This parable is told in a fashion to elicit an emotional response that draws out the spiritual principle Jesus is teaching. This parable has nothing to do with earthly work and earning a paycheck. This parable is about eternal life. In answer to questions they asked, who then can be saved? Eternal life it's about. Those who respond to the call of God late in their lives will receive the very same reward as those who respond to the call of God early in their lives. Both will receive mercy and compassion and grace, that redeeming grace that saves the soul. Remember the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, recorded in Luke chapter 15. These three parables are found in quick succession in Luke chapter 15. The concluding statement to each parable is this, Jesus gives. Luke 15, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke chapter 15, verse 32. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Celebration and joy in heaven. Just had to throw a party, for what was lost was found. A sinner has repented and salvation has come. Rejoice that the 11th hour, as much as rejoice over those who were there all day. Rejoice, for salvation has come to all. What is more amazing display of God's greatness and awesome wonder? Salvation in a soul that lives the rest of life serving the Lord, or salvation in a soul that will not have the opportunity to serve God at all, since the cry of mercy came at the last moment, at the last breath. Which is a more amazing display of God's greatness and awesome power? Someone that will spend his whole life serving the Lord, or someone being redeemed, never serving any portion of his life serving the Lord? The answer is both, because salvation comes freely from God. Think of that. God is so good that at the last moment, the last breath, that person will be shown the same greatness of grace and salvation, and will flow into the soul. And there will be rejoicing. I tell you, there will be rejoicing in heaven that that person at the last moment with the last breath said, Lord, have mercy. And the Lord did. Don't begrudge the God's grace at the deathbed. Instead, pray for an outpouring of grace at the last hour so that the soul will see salvation before the moment passes of redeeming grace. For God has established that during this physical life, before earthly death from this physical life on earth, as the time to call on Christ and to seek the redeeming grace. It is during our lifetime that we can call and receive redeeming grace. To seek the Lord, as it says in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thought. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Remember the thief on the cross? That thief that said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. At that moment, before the death, the thief says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Did Jesus say, nah, it's too late. You lived a life of crime and you were getting what you deserved. Too little, too late, sorry, nada, nada. You know Jesus did not respond in such fashion. Even in the midst of that great suffering, pain, agony, more than you or nor I could express in words, in excruciating pain, Jesus shows compassion, expresses mercy, grace flows. It is written in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Jesus answered him, that thief on the cross, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. In answer to those hired first and their grumblings, in the parable the landowner says, Matthew chapter 20, verse 15, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? That word translated as generous here in the Greek is agathos. And the meaning is good. meaning intrinsically good. The actions of the landowner, as I stated earlier, with Joseph's compassion for Mary, recorded in Matthew chapter 1, the actions of the landowner flow from the nature and character of the landowner. The landowner is good, and doing what is right comes naturally. God is good. And as such, goodness flows from God, seen in the compassion, mercy, and grace shown us through Jesus Christ. Don't be envious of God's generosity to the scoundrels late in their life. Remember the mercy that was shown to Saul, the chief of sinners, transforming him into Paul. Whereas Paul would write 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Just as Saul was saved, you too can be saved. As the cover of today's Sunday bulletin states, grace that is greater than all my sin. So let us marvel at the generosity of God that redeems and saves souls, as it's written in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just simply the fact that there is salvation in Jesus Christ is amazing generosity. For this came at the expense of the life of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, on the cross. Our God is a generous God. Yes, our God is a generous God. Rejoice and praise his name for the mercy and grace so freely given. Amen and amen.